Thursday, March 14th, 2013. I'm Jordy Morgan. Welcome to Maritime Morning. Any coach or referee can tell you, even the most innocent game of hockey can push parents into a frenzy of vulgar language, threats, even assault. Recent events in Nova Scotia have led to a re-examination of parents' behavior at the rink. We will talk to Brian Whitehead of Hockey New Brunswick about the online course called Respect in Sports and take your calls. Also, Mark Garneau is the latest Liberal to quit the leadership race and throw his support behind Justin Trudeau. In doing so, Garneau essentially said Trudeau has won the race. What kind of effect will this have, if any? We'll have that discussion. Nova Scotia has a new tourism campaign. Who's it aimed at? Where's it going to play? What's the thinking? We'll have a listen to some of the campaign, and we'll talk to the new CEO at Tourism, Paul Sullivan, and get your, Patrick Sullivan, and get your thoughts on this as well. Also, while some people dream of coming to Nova Scotia, has the maritime dream turned a little on its head? It's a question that Dan Legere asks in his latest column in the Herald. He was writing in response to a book published by pollster Daryl Bricker and journalist John Ibbotson. They contend the Atlantic Canadian mind may have a little catching up to do. But first, should there be a cap on municipal spending? In the last election, discussion turned to the financial advantage that was leveraged by the now mayor, Mike Savage. His campaign raised significantly more money than all of the other campaigns combined. The Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities is having a look at the issue. Should the mayor and council be restricted on what they can spend to be elected? And what of the emergence of political action committees throughout this country? Charles Sertwell is the president of the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. He joins us this morning, and I'd also like to hear from you on this as well. Good morning, Charles Sertwell.
Good morning, Jordy. We don't call them political action committees, though. We have more creative names for them. You know, the association for this, the organization for that, Friends of X, those kind of things.
Do you think that maybe we should be a little bit more transparent about exactly what these organizations are doing and call them exactly what they do in the United States?
Well, there's no question that that what we've seen, you know, we've put in rules for at the federal level in terms of who can donate to campaigns, how much they can donate, and when they can donate. Very quickly, we saw a trickle-down effect with some over-generous kind of contributions on the provincial level, and we started mirroring those rules at the provincial level. And I think now we're seeing the same kind of trickle-down exercise into municipal governance. You know, we had a couple years ago here in Halifax, we had a group called Citizens for Halifax, and then almost in direct response to that, we had a lot of kind of speculation in the media and conversations going around in the labor movement whether we needed labor-sponsored candidates or labor-endorsed candidates. And very quickly, we're getting to the point now where we look suspiciously like our favorite whipping boy, the Americans. And the U.S. has atrocious history around direct monetary influence on municipal campaigns, school board campaigns. It's ugly.
As I understand it, Vancouver, the municipal campaigns out there are more partisan, if you will, that there are actually kind of collectives that get together and they have areas of interest and they elect specific representatives that would, I suppose, represent those interests at City Hall. Is it such a bad thing?
No, they have formal political parties in British Columbia. They also have political parties, or you know, as close to political parties as we get on the municipal stage in Canada, in Quebec, and other places. And it makes for a more orderly kind of exercise, I guess. You have potentially fewer independents, although my sense is that it's not as big a deal at the municipal level as we might otherwise worry about. The capacity for independents to run at the provincial and federal level, it's simply because of the size and cost involved, is a little bit more of a challenge than that the municipal side. So there are pros and cons to have party voting. You know, there are lots of people who look at the voting on party lines in the federal government and say it's the worst possible way to administer a democracy, and you see centralizing of power. You know, we get complaints on a daily basis in the media about Harper's centralizing tendencies and Dexter's centralizing tendencies. So there are downsides political parties before we get enthusiastic about them and start talking about them at the municipal side.
Okay, I mean, municipally, it's been a fairly casual sort of a relationship, if I can put it that way, but there have been people who have seemingly been aligned with parties because of their involvement before. I know that there are people who are seen as Tories on the council, there are people that are seen as NDP members, or people who have perhaps had Liberal, political experience in the background, but it hasn't really, I guess, moved into the finance component of this.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think if you look at the folks who people call for donations, they're going to call the people who are in their Rolodexes. So it's not surprising that you get municipal candidates who have, you know, affiliations or loose associations with the NDP or with the Liberals or with the Tory, who have on their donor lists lots of Liberals or Tories, because those are the people they know. Those are the people they've seen on a regular basis. That's not surprising. But at the same time, I think we should be concerned from a Democratic perspective when you have folks like the Manning Center, for example, talking about getting organized around planning and focusing on the municipal side of the equation, municipal finance, municipal candidate recruitment, using the municipalities as a training ground for politicians that then move to the provincial and federal level. And it's not that I want to put on the agenda of the Manning Center, but
no. You know,
there are others that do this too, right?
But Charles, aren't they simply recognizing something that we've sort of informally always known has been going on, and they just say, let's just get a little more organized about it?
And I think that's the point, right, is that the Manning Center has looked at this, the union movement has looked at this and said, this is the way we do it anyway, so
right.
Why not just get thoughtful about it and more organized? And I think the response is one along which that the questions that the UNSM are asking makes perfect sense, which is if the folks looking to elect candidates are getting organized and trying to target money, then the folks who want to make sure that democracy stays fair, we need to take a serious look at our rules. And I think rules that look the same as what we have at the provincial federal level make perfect sense. If they work at that level, then they should work at the municipal level. So we're talking about who can donate, limiting who can donate, how much they can donate, you know, the danger of having someone donate $50,000 to a mayor, although it hasn't happened. It is theoretically possible. Maybe we need to take a serious look at that. And I think spending limits make a little bit of sense, although that's a little bit more of a challenge. If everybody in Nova Scotia wants to support a particular candidate, then why shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
What do you think about the mayoralty cap, the idea that, you know, they had best put a number on top of this so that it levels the playing field? Now, we didn't see any of the other candidates raise anywhere near what Mike Savage did, and a lot of people felt that sort of provided him with an unfair amount of leverage in terms of winning this campaign. Now, I don't know if it was the cart before the horse or how you want to characterize this, but one way or the other, he raised a lot of money. The other campaigns weren't able to. Should we be putting or thinking about a campaign cap on the mayoralty? And I guess that goes down to councils as well.
Well, I worry about the idea of putting a cap on because, again, you know, the concept of democracy is that if individuals want to give their money to support a candidacy of a particular person, they should be allowed to do that. And so at what point do you say, okay, you've now got your 150 people have given you $5,000, no one else can donate to your campaign. Then you're impacting the rights of the people who want to support that candidate. And on the Mike Savage thing, I think you're probably more right than wrong in terms of suggesting that this was the cart before the horse exercise. Let's remember that Mike, really before the election, he was the anti-Kelly candidate, and there was a long period of time of built-up opposition to the sitting mayor. So Savage was getting donations long before the campaign because there were a lot of people in the community who wanted an alternative, and they were prepared to open their wallets to make that happen.
So,
and let's not forget, Kelly was doing okay on fundraising too, so if he'd have been in the race, the gap would have been much narrower.
Yeah, true enough. So when they look at this, when the the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities looks at this, what do you think their core focus should be in terms of instituting any rules around this? What would you like to see them really focus in terms of providing, the best democratic foundation for campaign finance?
I think they're asking all the right questions. I think they're asking questions around, do we limit who can donate? Do we limit how much they can donate? Do we limit how much they spend? While I don't think we should limit spending, I don't have a problem with us discussing it and seeing where the people stand. The one real problem I have with the UNSM survey, and I understand who they represent, the one real problem I have with it is that they're surveying the people who won the elections. Why are they not going out, at the very least, to the people who lost? You know, all of the candidates who were in the last election filed an email, or the vast majority of them filed an email or some other contact information. We can reach those people. It's not that difficult. It's not that expensive. So to me, at the very least, the questions being asked should be going out to everybody, winners and losers from the last election, and not just the folks who actually won and are sitting, you know, in the organizations that have sent representatives to the UNSM. You know, the worry I have here is that you've got the winners setting the rules for the next time to make sure that, you know, if you're setting the rules, maybe you want to set them, you know, that work in your favor kind of exercise. And whether they do it or not, the perception that they do it is the problem.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. It's one I hadn't actually dwelled on, but I'm glad you raised it. Thanks very much, Charles. Always good talking with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Charles Sertwell, the president of the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. Do you think we need to institute some sort of campaign finance reform to level the playing field among candidates who are running in municipal elections? We'll put aside the provincial stuff because those rules are already dealt with. The federal stuff, that's already dealt with. It's basically the Wild West when it comes to people providing money for municipal campaigns. If somebody wants to donate to a campaign, if they feel that they see there's somebody that they want to support, they can fork over as much money as they darn well please. And does that have some sort of an influence? And do you think that we should be putting caps on the amount of money that somebody can spend to become the mayor? That was a question that we actually were dealing with around the time of the election as well. I'd like to hear from you on this. 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. That's 405-6000, 801-8255. The reason that we're talking about this morning is because the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities is putting out a survey. They're surveying their members, actually. And I think one thing that Charles mentioned that hadn't dawned on me until he mentioned it was the fact that they're actually just talking to the people who won the election rather than going out and seeking the opinion of people like you and me and everybody else who is affected by this, and including those people who lost the election, who may actually have, you know, some interesting perceptions of all of this. 405-6000 is the number, 877-801-8255. The question is, should we be putting donation limits on municipal campaigns? I'd like to hear your thoughts. 405-6000, 877-801-8255. We'll take your calls after this on Maritime Morning. Maritime Morning. In the last municipal election, Mike Savage raised more than $342,000. The rest of the campaigns raised a fraction of that, the other mayoralty campaigns. For, I think, most of the councillors, you're talking about maybe 10. I would think that on the outside, some people might have spent $20,000 in terms of getting elected. But the question that they're asking now, and I think it's probably more in line with the mayoralty campaigns than anything else, is should we have a cap on the amount of money that people should be able to donate to a candidate? Some of the donors in Mike Savage's campaign gave maybe $50, but there are other people who actually were able to pony up $5,000 or so, and they did so. And the question is, do you think that that is going to be able to buy influence with somebody who is a candidate? The other side is, if there is no cap there, no way to block that, then, you know, if somebody who had wanted to, they could have come in and they could have donated $50,000. So somebody who is very, very wealthy, for example, who wanted to spend $100,000 or whatever it might be, could they not, in the same way that presidential candidates or gubernatorial candidates in the United States, where they don't have the kind of campaign finance limits that we have here, could essentially come in if they wanted to and buy a political position simply by using their cash assets or their financial capability to do that? Is that something that we should be worried about here? I'd like to hear if you think we should be putting limits on the amount of money that people should be able to donate to campaigns. 405-6000 is the number, 877-801-8255. That's 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. Do you think that the amount of money that is available there to some of these candidates actually has any influence on perhaps even decisions that are being made? There was a lot of discussion around whether, you know, if the first people who get targeted, of course, developers, because they've got an interest in the city and how much they've donated to specific campaigns, that they are going to in some way be able to leverage the amount of money that they donate to these campaigns to buy some sort of of influence. Do you think that that even happens in the city? 405-6000 is the number, 877-801-8255. That's 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. If you'd like to send an email to me, you can do that as well. It's jordy.morgan@rci.rogers.com, or you can jump on our Twitter feed as well. Kevin via Twitter saying, I'm genuinely not sure what the problem spending caps is supposed to solve. Well, what we have seen over the last number of years, especially, and I think more so in the United States, is people who are actually being able to affect policy by being able to contribute to some of these political campaigns. I don't think we see it as much here in Canada. Certainly we don't at the provincial and federal level because of the campaign finance reform that's already been put in place. But there are those who are worried about perhaps there's a possibility of this. And when you go back a number of years and you look at things like Citizens for Halifax, which was a group of people that got organized to kind of push forward a specific agenda. And as Charles Sertwell was mentioning, there are other groups that were forming to say, well, perhaps we should be looking at organizing in order to push another agenda. And then, you know, in order to follow that, you have to follow the money as well. And that's how we see influence beginning to get pushed on a political level. And some people feel that there's that is anti-democratic. Another hit on our Twitter feed here saying, how about we put a cap on donations as salary, something like zero? Well, 405-6000, 1-877-801-8255. This is all coming out of an online review that's post-mortem of the election. And the president of the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities, Russell Walker, says that the organization hopes to have this done by the end of the month. And he is getting feedback just from elected officials, and that's going to be presented to the provincial government so that election officials can actually start working on a plan for the vote in 2016. And I know we just finished one up here, but they have to look ahead to the next election, which is 4 years down the road, and change the legislation if necessary. I was talking to Russell yesterday on the phone. He's actually on vacation today. We were going to talk to him, but I guess he's taken a little time off. And he said that a potential limit on campaign donations is just one element of looking at the entire municipal election experience. Electronic voting is another one they're going to be looking at. It raised a couple of issues as well. But if you'd like to talk about that, 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. That's 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. But when I was talking about the campaign contributions, Russell Walker said there's no restrictions on the amount that are being donated. And he was asking the question about whether or not there should be a limit on how much you can actually collect in total. There's no limit on when a municipal campaign can begin campaigning for office as well. For example, if Rick Howe decided that he wanted to be the mayor, he could begin campaigning right now and he could start raising money. If he wanted to do it, you know, a couple of years out, he could go for it. So there's no limit there. Is there a problem with that? I don't think so. If somebody's got that kind of ambition and they wanted to actually do it, then why not actually start organizing now so that they're not sitting around waiting to the last minute to try and put something together? I know that there were candidates that were into the municipal election up to, a year out. And I know that some of the mayoralty candidates announced, what was it, about 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 months ahead of the election. And it gave them an opportunity to kind of raise their profile and that sort of stuff. But anyway, this survey is going to be put out. The union is a group that covers all 54 municipalities. So if you're listening in, you know, some of the other communities as well, there's probably going to be some kind of a fallout in terms of what happens there as well. They are out also saying post-election canvassing is something that they do after all the municipal elections to go out and talk to some people and find out how they feel about the whole election experience and whatnot. So that is what they are doing now. Have you seen the new tourism campaigns yet? There are a number of ads. You can check them out on YouTube. Maybe what we can do is we can fire some of those links up on our Facebook page as well. And you can have a look at some of the ads that are just being distributed by the Nova Scotia government. They're trying to attract more visitors here. We have seen an enormous decline in the number of people coming to Nova Scotia. So they're trying to do something about it. And we will talk to the guy who is in charge of that. He is the new CEO of Tourism Nova Scotia about what the focus is exactly of the campaign and why they've decided to do this now, where they are going to be focusing their efforts, who they're going to be talking to, for example. Is it Europe? Is it the United States? Is it other areas of the country? Or is it here in the Maritimes? Or is it all of the above? We'll look at some of the thinking behind it and also give you an opportunity to provide your opinion. We'll talk tourism coming up next here on Maritime Morning.